You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Back in the friendly confines of the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios for the first time.
Since Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Been
a long time.
Since I rock and roll.
Still singing. A lot of singing. A lot of harmonizing. Crescent Smith. Who needs Hall & Oates when you got Crescent Smith in the front row of the Parkside Kia Telluride last night?
Say what you need, some earplugs.
Hey. You weren't there.
I know.
Yeah. You should have heard it.
They had help, too.
We did. We had a three-part harmony going on for...
From the way, way back.
On the way home, it was the next back.
Stevie did throw me in the trunk.
He did.
It's not the trunk. It's the third row.
He did say, get in the trunk.
Whoa. Stevie made you sit in the way, way back?
He was very adamant. Yeah, it was weird. I wasn't going to bring it up, but Tucker, you threw it out there. Stevie kind of big-boyed Tucker Harlan on the way home last night. It was a little uncomfortable. Really, the only time he made it weird was when he looked at Tucker as we were climbing into the Parkside Kia Telluride after the ball game last night and adamantly said, Tucker, get in the back! And we all kind of chuckled. And then he said, with a like darkness in his voice and in his eye, Tucker, get in the back.
You should have said, Stevie.
We were all...
No.
I think he did at first, and then like he kept doing it. How many times did he tell you to get in the back, Tucker?
Two or three times.
It was really? At least three times.
That part was weird. Other than that, we were fine.
That was the only time Stevie made it weird.
Well, you got to – his Cubs had just lost.
Yes.
He was a little frustrated.
Yes.
And he didn't want to ride in the back with the table.
How was that, by the way? That was – I mean, you said it wasn't bad.
The
was
leg
it?
Room was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Now, let me get this straight. Okay. You guys take this guy to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets. He treated like a king.
He fed us.
Yeah,
delicious.
That was the crux of his argument when we tried to negotiate the situation. He said, listen, I fed you lunch. I gave you delicious brisket sandwiches and the chocolate chip cookies, which were phenomenal. I mean, they really were.
His wife can bake.
One thing's got nothing to do with the other. I'm a little disappointed in you.
I was prepared to stand up and fight for Tucker, but he took one for the team. He's like, you know what? This is getting weird. I don't want to make it weird, so I'm just going to kind of climb back there. And I appreciate that, Tucker.
I thought Stevie may have had a right to an hour, 15-minute
really?
Trip.
Where was Quentin?
Next to Stevie.
Cookie Man is very diplomatic. He can disappear when things get tense. He just sort of recedes into the background. He was very much just happy to be there.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? Logan's the guy at the party you send out to talk to the cops.
I could tell Logan really wanted to go home. Like I could sense. I'm good at reading a person's vibes. Like I could tell he did not want to go to the Battery at all before the game or after the game.
You didn't think he wanted to go before?
He wanted to get in that ballpark. I could tell. He wanted to get and then afterwards I was like, guys, do you want to sit in traffic? Like it's gonna be a long, which I was wrong on, by the way. But I was like, do we really want to do that, or we want to go do something? And he just looked, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Where are we gonna go? I was like, all right, this guy wanted. And in fairness, he had to be at work at like 8 a.m.
Yeah. He had to be up earliest of all of us.
He very much wanted to get home.
And to his credit, we zipped out of there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was unbelievable.
Phenomenal. Oh, I know. I got the notification.
I mean, there was no traffic around the stadium for us because we were able to park in a good
traffic.
Lot.
And we were right next to the ballpark, too. Like, usually I would park far away from a ballpark, really just to avoid the traffic more so than anything else. So I was just resigned to, it's going to be forever. You know, it's going to be awful.
How full was the stadium?
I mean, it wasn't packed, but there was like probably close to 30,000 there in a 40,000-seat stadium. Lots of Cubs fans.
Yeah, we were among them.
Lots of Cubs fans. Yeah, they were everywhere.
I hate that the Cubs lost for Stevie.
Didn't even score a run, man. Yeah. That was tough.
You were not very nice to Stevie yesterday.
Stevie's a weird dude, man.
No, he's not. He was a very nice guy.
I mean, in the if there were a weird off between Bear and Stevie. That's a toss-up right there.
He was very sad that you didn't come.
Like,
he wanted to give you.
I don't know what you want me to do with that.
He wanted to give you a big bear hug.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Bear, I mean, if in the Bear versus Stevie weird off, like, Bear makes it weird because he's so unnecessarily mean, and Stevie makes it weird because he's so unnecessarily nice. Oh. And so I feel like that would just be two opposite ends of the magnet, like, pushing each other away.
He also introduced us to his very, very friendly German Shepherd.
Wrigley. Big dog. One of the biggest. No. He's a
very kind. Very friendly.
5 years old, just a big teddy bear.
I mean, maybe.
One huge. Of the biggest German Shepherds I've seen.
Huge.
Like 100, huge. Triple digits, 100 pounds plus.
I think he was at 100. I'd say he's at 100. Maybe.
I had a friend that had. I love the huge
ones.
Oh,
he was awesome. He just had his ball, and he was running around, and then he'd drop it at your feet and just look at you like, you know what to do with it, right? You know what to do with that? It was great.
Big show lined up this afternoon. We got college football kickoff times. Big games announced today. Banner Dan is the target of many slings and arrows from angry Lady Vol fans. That was the first thing I saw when I woke up this morning.
I didn't read it. I was so embarrassed by the title.
It's fantastic.
Like, what are we doing?
Oh, we're going to go through it, man. We're going
to. No, I want to. I kind of saved it for the show.
It's great.
You moron.
These people are out there among us, man. They are out there.
I hope you burn in hell, Danny.
Imagine how angry you have to be when you see the news come down that Kelly Harper has been fired by Tennessee, that you have to dash out an emotional, angry email to Banner Dan.
That's the second time our friend Adam Sparks has written an article with explicit language warnings on it, the other time being the Pruitt investigation.
I'll never watch another game.
Foul-mouthed Adam Sparks.
Liars, all of them.
I'm going to give Banner Dan a piece of my mind. He's going to rescind this firing after I dash off this angry email.
This will show him. Yeah, okay.
Everybody's going to see how mad I am. I'll make some good points, too.
You write that email yet, Teddy?
I'm sitting down, too.
I worked up the first draft. I'm going to let it percolate a little, see if anything else comes to me over supper.
I made a highlight sheet of all the points I got to hit. She was a LVFL, number one.
Jeez. She's a terrible coach.
Pat's rolling over in her grave.
Which is like mean. Like, it's doubly mean.
Why would you bring that up?
Yeah. Hurtful.
And Tennessee baseball is back in action tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Belmont is in town. Can you believe it? The final midweek game of the season. How about that?
We're getting to the nitty-gritty now.
Yeah, man. Getting real. I mean, like, even just saying that just now, there was, I would say the hair on the back of my neck stood up, but there was a little tingle in the back. It was like, ooh. Uh-oh.
I mean, it just
got a little
like,
nervous.
Nervous. I was going to say, a touch of dread, like a sprinkle of dread. Just
like,
because
this could end at any time.
It's real now.
I feel like it was just like 2 weeks ago that we were in full-on basketball tournament mode. But now we're winding down the end of another baseball season, and
happens quick, man.
Yeah. We watching the last games of some of our all-time favorite Vol baseball players.
So, we'll have Ryan Shumpert on from Rocky Top Insider coming up here in just a mere matter of moments to help us go through the issues of the day here this afternoon. I want to remind everybody, the Fan Run merch shop is live. If you want a Fan Run Radio t-shirt, you want a drive t-shirt, a morning show t-shirt, you want a tank top, you want a hat, I don't know. Do we have any hats yet? We're getting hats. We got some cool merch, anyways. What I'm trying to say, folks.
Oh no, on the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two hats. We got a rope hat and a standard snapback.
Go to fanrunradio.com/shop and make your order. The new merch launch code set to expire tomorrow. 15% off any order. 15% off any order if you order by tomorrow. Use the promo code FANRUN for the win. That's FANRUN, the number four, the win, to save 15% on your order and free shipping. This does not expire anytime. Any order over $50, just use promo code free shipping. You get free shipping, obviously.
I got a sneak peek at some of our upcoming designs.
Yes, we did.
The inward half stuff?
No. No, that, I'm talking about the inward half stuff is unbelievable.
We're going statewide. Global.
What does that mean? I mean, aren't we global right now?
Even like, globaler.
If somebody
bigly.
We do have listeners like in France and stuff, like people like we ship
overseas.
We're everywhere. So somebody is ordering, joining the 37 Club in
Azerbaijan. Yeah,
if I can make up a country,
that's pretty close to it.
And they joined the 37 Club. We mail stuff to
right there,
worldwide,
parts unknown,
prestige.
Well, that's cool.
Is what we sell, and we do sell it worldwide. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
The inward half hoodie and golf shirt, fan run hoodie and golf shirt are elite.
Yeah, I may have already put in a pre-sale order.
Pre-sale is live right now.
Yeah.
FanRunRadio.com. Go check it out.
Is the pullover like the...
It's like your hoodie.
My hoodie?
It's just black.
Just different color.
Yeah.
But on the inside, it's white with a bunch of FanRun logos.
Yeah, it's FanRun...
FanRun theme.
FanRun theme lining.
Very cool. Very cool. So go check that out. FanRunRadio.com. Get your orders in today. You know what's weird? Last night, so we had a great time at the ball game. Thanks so much to the Braves. You can hear game two of the Braves and Cubs tonight, 7:20, here on Fan Run Radio.
Excellent hosts.
Excellent hosts. I mean, it was like almost, I don't want to say too much. It's never too much, but they were so nice, man. Talk about rolling out the red carpet for us up there yesterday. We're watching the ball game. Great game. Braves win. 2-0, had everything. Acuna doing bad things, Acuna doing good things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the Zach Short game, comes in to fill in for the injured Austin Riley and gets us started with a key RBI double. He was batting, I mean, not like 0.58, I think it was his average.
It's funny because he wears 59 and he was batting 59.
He was batting 59.
Speaking of Acuna, what happened to the bobbleheads?
I mean, we got... The people who attended the trip, there were five of us down there. They gave us five Acuna bobbleheads. What, you want one? You wanted us to bring you one back?
One of them needs to be in here in the studio for sure. Like, it ought to be maybe on your desk.
There's one on my desk at Stately Smith Manor. Stevie has one.
Of course he does.
Houston, Tucker, and the Cookie Man have one. So, I mean, I
don't know.
You're not
Stevie,
even a Braves fan.
I don't know if Stevie took his, though.
Why don't
you
give it to me?
Was there not an extra one in the back of the Telluride?
If there is, it belongs to Parks IKEA.
Oh, no.
I think I got everything out of there, including a vape cap that you left in the little door handle.
You would never be lost.
Gotcha.
Like if you came up missing, we could follow a trail of vape caps to find your ass. Seriously, dude.
And you'd be sitting in the woods just vaping quietly by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But we're watching the ball game. Yeah, it had everything. Great pitcher's duel. Imanaga was fantastic. Reynaldo Lopez was fantastic.
Lopez was really good. I didn't realize he got hurt until
Braves
like later
had
on.
10 hits in the ball game. Mm-hmm. Lopez was outstanding. I did not realize it's so weird when you're at the game and you don't have the benefit of the commentary. I got home last night, and I'm winding down, and I pull up the highlights to watch the game, and it was at that point I realized that the Cubs manager got thrown out of the game. I didn't even realize that. Sitting there, they don't announce it. What, you know, there's a brouhaha. There was a check swing by Acuna that was really close, and they said he didn't go around, and Council was arguing it, and he came out.
The slow stroll to first base.
Yeah, I'm watching Council on the Cubs dugout because we're right there, and I totally missed the guy. The first base umpire tossed him emphatically, but I didn't see it because I'm not looking. And well, they don't announce over the PA. The PA announcer doesn't say,
Council has
been ejected from the game. So I didn't even know. Nobody said anything to me. So I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, wait a minute. Manager got tossed. I didn't even realize that until 2:30 in the morning when I'm sitting at home watching the highlights.
Yeah, apparently I was the only one that saw it. Maybe Stevie did.
So. Stevie did. He told me, wait, like 5 innings later. I'm like, wait, what?
But I could tell the umpire was yelling at somebody in the Cubs dugout, and then he made the signal, as he does. So.
As they often are.
It was strange, man. Like, usually that's something. I was in the house the night Tony V got bumped into Jeffrey Macias and got tossed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he did that in front of God and everybody.
Yeah,
in the middle of the damn infield.
But at that point, everybody was watching the confrontation, and it happened right there. Whereas last night, I think a lot of people were on the Cubs dugout where everything was going on. Acuna's at bat. And I don't think a lot of people were watching the first base umpire at the time. So I think probably a lot of people missed it. But that was an exciting end to it. And, great time at the ballpark last night in Atlanta. We'll get more into Tennessee baseball when we're joined by our good pal Ryan Shumpert of Rocky Top Insider. Will we see A.J. Russell tonight for the Baseball Vols? We know we won't be starting Dylan Loy. Gets the ball to begin things for the Volunteers tonight, but will we see the one-time Tennessee ace for the first time in a long time tonight? We'll get Ryan's thoughts on that when we continue. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Stay with us. Chris said, did I stutter?
That's completely uncalled for and wildly inaccurate.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Russell Smith, Houston Kress, Bear, Tucker Harlan. Back with you this afternoon on the show. Pleased to be joined by Ryan Shumpert, RockyTopInsider.com. Good afternoon, Shump. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Saw our Bravos beat your Cubbies last night down in the ATL. It was a good night.
Yeah, I saw you guys were down there. It was a pretty quick game. It felt like not a ton of drama to it, but a good pitching matchup. And, you know, that's the good thing about low expectations. I'm just going and hoping the Cubs can win one game this week. So, two more to go. Hopefully they'll pick one up and avoid a sweep.
Didn't winning it all in 2016, though, didn't that change how you feel about that sport and your expectations, or have you slowly, like, crept back to where you were before?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of bitterness towards how things ended with that core of players. I mean, you win a World Series the year after making the NLCS with an extremely young core. I mean, you think you're going to have a couple more cracks at it, and I guess the Cubs made it back in 17 to the NLCS and haven't even won a playoff game, I think, since 18. So the expectations have definitely creeped back down, but there's certain – that's probably, as a sports fan, that's probably the most, like, angry I could get or bitter I can be about something, that the Cubs didn't – obviously, you get the World Series, you can't be too upset. But what it looks like the Cubs might be able to roll off after that, it's definitely a lot of bitterness.
Thought you were going to go on a run. Thought it was your time. Cubs dynasty.
That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, it feels like they've got a good young core coming through here. So maybe you guys get it rolling again. I like seeing the Cubbies do. A lot of Cubs fans down there last night.
Really were. Like, I was impressed. They're everywhere, yeah. But there was a good
Cubs
contingent.
Nation represents.
Yeah, they did.
They wanted to get out down there.
I love to hear it. And, yeah, you're right. It's the rebuild's been maybe a little bit quicker than I expected. So I'm pretty happy back where we are with this current state of the Cubs. And I'll be down there tomorrow hoping to add to the Cubs contention and see if the Cubbies can get a win.
Ryan, are we going to see A.J. Russell tonight?
I'm not sure if we'll see him tonight. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we do, but I do think we'll see him at some point this week, if I had to guess. I think he'll make his return from injury, and I think it's possible that it's tonight, but I don't have necessarily a definitive or even some sort of strong gut feel that tonight is the night that we see him.
What do you think the goal is, the best case scenario? Because I know some people have said, well, go ahead and give him a start. You know, start him tonight, and that's not going to happen. I think it's been announced Dylan Loy's going to be the starter. I guess my thought on that, Shump, is if the goal is to have him as a reliever and eventually get him to the point where he might be able to pitch two, maybe three innings for you in a regional, super regional, College World Series game, then, like, I would do that, you know, like, you'll bring him out of the pen and see how that goes and see if you can't build him up from there. I would like, if he's healthy and he responded to the bullpens last week that he threw, I'd be tempted, if I were Tony, to throw him out there for an inning tonight at some point.
Yeah, I would be too. I'd just be wanting to get him as many pitches. It doesn't have to be innings, but just have him throw as many pitches in a live game as possible before the NCAA tournament. And obviously they have this coming weekend against South Carolina and the SEC tournament, where Tennessee is all but guaranteed at least two games, and more likely than not, they'll play three or four games there. So there's not just limited opportunities, but also not a ton of opportunities. And to your point, I would want to get him as many innings, as many live game pitches as possible, for kind of two reasons. One, just to get any rust out, to have him be as polished as possible before he's throwing the pitches in the innings that really matter in the NCAA tournament. And two, just to try to get that pitch count up as much as possible going into the postseason. So it's definitely, as long as everything went well, I know he faced some live batters on Saturday through in Nashville, obviously not in the game against Vanderbilt. If all went well there, I'd be trying to get him, obviously, precaution, safety, don't want to do anything to get set him back, but I'd be trying to get him as many pitches, as many innings as possible before the NCAA tournament.
Ryan Shumpert, RockyTopInsider.com, with us this afternoon. Ryan, your takeaways from the series with Vanderbilt in Nashville over the weekend?
I think as a whole, it wasn't a very takeaway weekend, to use something that's not really actually a word. It was just a three-game series where Tennessee, I felt like, faced really good starting pitching. I think if they hadn't have been so poor at the plate, probably their worst hitting performance of the game of the season in game three, I think my takeaway would have been, we just saw again how dangerous Tennessee can be, and the fact that they faced two good starting pitchers on Friday and Saturday. I thought they did a good job against Bryce Cunningham on Friday of taking advantage of a couple opportunities and just getting him out of the game in the middle of the game. And then when they got Cunningham, when they got Holton out of the game, being able to pounce on the bullpen. Now, I think obviously the tone of the weekend maybe changed a little bit after Sunday, but I thought it was a weekend that was kind of par for the course. The offense was good with one, bad outing. Again, like I said, the worst of the season, but not super different than from what we've seen the last month. And the pitching staff, outside of maybe Drew Beam not having a very good outing, was about what we've seen for the most part the last 4 weeks. So it seemed like a continuation of the theme that has been this team's kind of core to back half of SEC play, that the pitching is getting better and the offense isn't just completely dominant. There's a couple holes in the lineup. There's a couple things they need to get figured out if they want to be truly, truly elite, but still good. Still can, really pounce on an opponent at any time.
And then just looking ahead to South Carolina, a chance to finish up strong. Obviously, you'd like to win the series, and you just feel like, Tennessee had their chance to sweep as you did sweep. Who did you? Missouri a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Missouri and LSU. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you'd like to sweep, but this feels like to me, Ryan, like, just if you win two games and get out of there this weekend and get down to Hoover, you'd be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, no doubt. You just want to continue the good momentum, and winning the SEC would obviously be a cool feather in the hat for this team. And I think a sweep's probably what's going to, barring a surprise this weekend in Lexington, is probably what's going to need to happen to do that. But you win two out of three, you make it nine straight series wins. I think you feel really good about that, and you feel really good about where this team is at going into the postseason. And I thought it was interesting, I guess after Saturday's game, someone asked Tony Vitello about, how much he enjoys this time of the year and chasing championships and being in the hunt and all that good stuff. And, you know, I'm sure all that matters to Tony, and he would like to win. But he talked more about this time of year is about getting as comfortable as you can be in certain situations of knowing who you can trust, whether that be on the mound, whether that be at the plate, whether that be a defensive substitution, a pinch runner, all that stuff. So I think it's just as much about that at this point for Tennessee. You want to feel good about that this weekend. A.J. Russell pitching would be a big step forward of trying to figure out some roles for guys and just feel good about what you have and good about guys in different spots and about guys understanding what the role is going to be as things start to get a little bit more intense and get to the really meaningful games in June.
It is interesting. We visit with Ryan Shumpert this afternoon, RockyTopInsider.com. When you talk about the number one team in the country, right? And we're nitpicking when we discuss any flaws this team might have because they've obviously had such a good season to be ranked where they are right now. But I guess one of those areas that fans might look at, Ryan, is the DH spot. You know, this time last year you had settled into the transfer from Cincinnati whose name I can never remember.
Griffin Merritt.
Griffin Merritt is the DH. The year before, by this time in the season, you were settling in to Blake Burke being that guy, although they rotated a lot. Dirk Hay the year before, I believe. So, like you'd like to have that settled, I would think. That being said, it doesn't feel like that position is settled at all. I mean, it feels like it is up for grabs, and it could be any one of three or four players at this point, right?
No doubt, and I've kind of been of the opinion that I feel like Tennessee should just decide on somebody and roll with them and try to have them work through this slump and see if they can find some results, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I mean, Tony Vitale even used the term of an opener for the designated hitter, and that's what it's been the last couple weeks.
That's wild.
I mean, I think last weekend against Vanderbilt, I think it was five total at-bats that the starting DH got over the course of three games. Bargo got two on Friday, and Robin Villeneuve got two on Sunday, and then Chapman got one on Saturday. So they're going to go with a bunch of different guys. I think you've seen them go with who they feel like has the best batting practice before the game. I think that was the case with Villeneuve on Sunday. I think that was the case with Bracky Lowry getting the first pinch hit at-bat on game two on Saturday. So it doesn't feel close to anything definitive at this point, and it kind of feels like it's not going to be. And, you know, something I would even say and maybe look at, I don't think you're too far off to me of thinking the best way to go is to start Ariel Antigua at shortstop, Dean Curley at third base, and Billy Amick at that hitter spot. Because
interesting,
they're getting net to, you know, close to nothing at the DH spot. They got more. I mean, this weekend they had three at-bats where the DH reached base, and one of them was a big home run from Cannon Peebles, and that felt like more production that they'd gotten in a month combined, and even that's pretty, you know, humble production. So if you're not going to get a ton of production there, it feels like it's, you know, no real drop-off to what Ariel Antigua can give them at the plate, and certainly Amick, ever since coming back from the appendicitis, has been a little bit shaky defensively. So that would put, you know, Tennessee's best defensive lineup out there with Antigua at short, Curley at third base. And then it doesn't feel like you're losing a ton on the offensive end with Antigua in there instead of the DH at this point. So I don't know if Tennessee's necessarily close to doing that, but and I don't think that probably lessens Tennessee's ceiling a bit if they do that, because I don't think Antigua has as much in the bat this season as some of those potential options at DH do. But at the same time, I do think it raises the floor, and it's how Tennessee could get their best defensive lineup or best defense out there on the infield.
Is there a way they can put Amick's appendix back in? It feels like he was better with the appendix. I'm not a medical expert, Ryan. Can we do that?
I don't think you can do that. No? But, okay. I mean, that's defensively, because, you know, that was a knock on him, on Amick coming in. And before that, he was really good defensively.
He was
good.
Yeah,
there was no concerns at all.
He's barehanding ball. He's coming in charge, barehanding it, whipping it across the field. And ever since he lost that appendix, tough.
Yeah, and it's not like he's just been completely awful.
Sure.
But, look, you look at a couple games at Florida, and that run that he makes an error in the ninth inning of game two, it cost Tennessee. They lose by one run, and they strand a couple guys on base. He has another error that cost Tennessee a run in game three. So the issues have been more prevalent. And it's not like he's been a terrible defender since. And I think that's more – this whole theory is more to do with the lack of production at DH than anything else. But to me, it is a curious situation that doesn't feel far-fetched as something Tennessee could potentially try out.
The one that boggled my mind was the Backus experiment at Florida a week or so ago when, here's Colby Backus' big chance. You got one at bat, Ryan. I don't think we've seen him since.
No, I think we saw him in the midweek game last week. Well, we haven't seen him in an SEC game. And I don't know, maybe if it was – he was a little slow to back up a ball. I can't remember who threw it and it got past Burke. He was slow to back up one of those. I don't know if that was it. Tony talked more after the game about it being a matchup thing. But at the same time, against Jack Caglione, it wasn't a good matchup to begin with Backus. I mean, the question with him is he's got a little bit of a slower swing, the high-end fastball. How can he handle that? Well, Caglione's got a great, great fastball. So, that makes me think that maybe it was more of that defensive miscue or maybe not being as attentive as possible. But you're right. That was a strange experiment to just give him one at bat and then pull the plug from him.
Ryan, anything else you guys have your eye on over at RTI these days? I know the Chaz Lanier sweepstakes is pretty big. And then, of course, just getting ready for football season right around the corner. We'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, exactly. Lanier's the big story in the basketball world, and it feels like we're getting closer to things at least heating up with that. I mean, everything's been a little bit tame as he goes through the NBA draft process with the G League Elite Camp this past weekend, but it feels like things are about to start heating up with that one in the next week. So paying attention to that, and you mentioned football. Obviously, that's always the big storyline. We're starting to get a couple of these game times leaked out, not for Tennessee, but for some other games early in the season and just over the course of the season. So we'll be having our eye on that, and we'll have whatever you need to know about Tennessee game times and broadcast details. As North Carolina State game is the one I anticipate we'll see here in the next couple of days, and maybe some others over the course of the season too.
Well, when you're looking at this opening weekend, and you knew they were going to make a big deal out of DeBoer's first game with Alabama. Who are they playing, Tucker? Western Carolina,
yeah,
or something like that?
That's right.
The Catamounts are coming to Tuscaloosa. Okay, I get it. It's his first game. There are some other marquee matchups around there. Tennessee's game against Chattanooga is going to be pretty invisible on the national landscape that first week, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mean, this is my media opinion, which I'm sure will vary from fans, especially any fans in the mid-state or outside of Knoxville watching. But, you know, I'm just hoping it gets moved to Thursday, like a couple of them have.
Yeah,
because from that standpoint, get the game done on Thursday, get to watch all the games on Saturday and not have to work. So that's what I'm hoping happens. I know a lot of fans that aren't in the Knoxville area do not want that to happen. But you're right, Tennessee-Chattanooga, it's not going to be a big marquee game week one, though. I do think that Tennessee-North Carolina State game, there's a good chance it'll be in one of those key or top ABC slots in week two. I think it'll be one of the better games of the week.
I know Georgia and Clemson fans are upset because that game is at noon, and which sucks for folks who want to have a party, but that's what TV's decided. Is that perhaps an early look into how ABC is going to approach these games? And, you know, there's some talk that, hey, the 3:30 might not be the prime window anymore for these games. It's a different broadcast. You know, that's what CBS wanted to do. ABC and ESPN might be approaching this completely different. And if so, are they going to be putting your Tennessee-Florida, your Tennessee-Alabama, your Georgia-Bama, whatever the big game is that going to be at noon? Because I think a lot of fans are not going to like that if that's how they play this.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, and I was curious to see that. And then, you know, I know some of ABC's big-time non-conference games the last couple of years have been in that noon slot too. So I think that's a possibility. What I'll be really curious to see is obviously Fox has their big noon Saturday. That's where they put their big game. Does ABC, and a lot of those big noon games are decided well out ahead of the season, does ABC kind of play off that and see what the matchups are and some weeks try to put their big game in 3 o'clock? And I know that Georgia-Alabama game, I think, has already been set as an ABC primetime 8 p.m. Eastern time game. So how does that affect things is I think what I'm going to be curious about. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's Texas-Michigan week two that's on Fox. One of those games that would match up with Tennessee-North Carolina State, one of the biggest games that week is the Fox big noon game. So I'm curious to see if Tennessee-North Carolina State does not go up against that, because I think it's going to be one of, if not the best ABC game that day. And I think it's unlikely that they're going to want to put that up against what is definitely the game of the week two in college football.
Ryan, excellent stuff, my man. Thank you so much. Enjoy the trip to the ATL tomorrow, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen. You guys have a good one.
Thanks. It's Ryan Shumpert, RockyTopInsider.com. Follow him on the Twitter machine at Shump, RSCHUMP00.
That's the one.
I butchered that, didn't I? All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Open up the phone lines here, 865-288-3131. Your number to get on board, 288-3131. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider. Bear, what did you learn?
The thing that was intriguing is the conversation about what we're going to do at DH. I don't think we can get to where we want to go with how it sits currently. I do find it intriguing the bringing is an Antigua in to play short.
Yeah, that's I'd not thought about that.
Curley to third base and then moving Billy Batts to the DH. That would work it. I'm afraid that Brad in the fall would probably have a meltdown.
I just don't see them doing that to Billy Amick. I feel like that was probably a recruiting promise is come here or we're going to showcase you at third. And I feel like he's pretty – I see what Ryan is saying, and he makes a compelling point. But I don't – that hasn't solved the problem, which is we're not getting production from the DH spot.
But, I mean, if you bring Antigua out and start him at short, aren't you just shifting your –
That's what I'm saying is we're just putting Antigua in there now, and he's not going to give you any more production from the DH spot than the guys that you've been rotating through there lately. I would not think.
The top of the order has been, including Amick, has been I wouldn't go messing around too much with that up there.
Marcus Phillips to DH. Apparently he can mash. We just haven't seen it
I've yet. Seen him. Me and Russ saw it.
We haven't seen – I mean, they're not going to do that.
I know, yeah. Russell. Come on.
But he can mash.
You know what I would do. I'll put the cannon out there, man.
You can't do that. For who?
A DH.
Oh, just leave him out there?
Yeah.
Just let him work through
it. Ride or die. I was so happy when he hit that home run at Vandy. And I thought, okay, here we go. Like, that's it. He's going to get
– But, but what did you say yesterday? Starts. Like, he never got back in. Like, what's going on there? The guy we thought would be the guy, finally, you know. He had one, not that long ago? Two series ago?
Missouri, right?
Yeah, Missouri. It's his first home run of the year, and it's like, oh, finally. Now he's hit another one.
It's kind of like the outlier, not the rule. This guy.
Did you watch us?
A little disappointed. We didn't hit the ball good at all on Sunday.
No, it's true. No one did.
Besides Dreiling.
Yeah, besides Dreiling.
And then again, that we talked about it
Villanueva
yesterday.
That
Vanderbilt
just
pitcher was grabbing on that hat.
And people forget how good Peebles was last year at NC State. This is NC State, right? This is a good program. Remember, they were in the College World Series, COVID year.
Yeah, they got sent home because Vandy complained.
This is where Tommy Tanks began his career. I mean, they're kind of a factory in a really good baseball league.
Yep.
This was Cannon Peeble's freshman season last year. Listen to this. .352 batting average, .697 slugging percentage, .456 on base percentage, tied for first on the roster with 50 RBIs, ranked second on the team with 12 home runs in just 142 at-bats. Led all hitters with a .348 batting average, .742 slugging percentage in ACC play, tied for first with 7 homers. He did that at the ACC last year as a true freshman. It's strange to me that he has struggled. And he struggled. I mean, let's call it what it is. He's struggled this year.
Absolutely.
So it has not been what we thought it was going to be. So that's going to be interesting to see. We'll see if he gets the start tonight and what they do. It feels like they're just going to keep juggling designated hitters. That's what, Ryan is saying. He's They have a starting designated hitter, and then they make an adjustment pretty much during the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody would go out there and clobber a few balls and rake a little bit, I
that'd
think,
be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that'd be so easy.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what – and everybody has had an opportunity. Villeneuve has had an opportunity. Reese Chapman has had an opportunity. Peebles has had opportunities, and no one has grabbed that proverbial bull by the horns. 865-288-3131. Your number to get on the program this afternoon, 288-3131. If you want to chime in on the program this afternoon, did you guys see the video of Igor arriving today on campus?
Yeah.
Rocking the Eazy-E t-shirt.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's an interesting fashion choice.
I'm Eazy-E. Yeah. Dig it. Old school.
Are you familiar with the work of Eazy-E, Tucker Harlan?
Or as he's known on the streets, Eazy.
We'll get you a tape. We'll get you a cassette tape.
I know who he is. I'm just not familiar with his music.
He's
we'll refer you to Godfather's landmark solo album, Eazy Does It, in the late 80s.
In NWA.
He was one of the founding members, yes. Also funded it, footed the bill for it.
Joshy Boy, up first today on the drive. What's up, Joshy Boy?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
I want to talk to Big Boy. Tucker Harlan, you disappoint me because of you not doing the chop last night. Russ, you not getting a video of that.
He's a Cardinals fan. Why would
asked,
he do that?
Well, no. I asked Tucker. They started playing the drums, and he said that he finds that offensive to the Native American community.
That I did not
he
say.
He would not participate in such an outdated act of racism.
Joshy Boy, I was a happy neutral last night.
Can I at least get a go Braves from you, Tucker?
Go Braves against the Cubbies. We'll say that.
Oh, for the good. Love of God.
Good. It was a good victory last night over Stevie Cubbies, and I expect the Braves to beat those Cubbies.
Breaking out the broomsticks this week. Breaking out the broomsticks, Joshy Boy.
I'm sorry, Ron Shumpert. We're going to sweep you.
Oh!
Your Cubs when you're there tomorrow night.
Joshy Boy's dropping bombs this afternoon.
Taking
he's fired
shots
up.
Left and right.
Yes. So are you guys hearing that Kentucky is breaking out the bag for Chaz Lanier?
Yep.
From you? I mean, you told us this yesterday. You've told us this today. I've not heard that. I mean, I just assume that Kentucky will break out a bag if they want a basketball player. I mean, they've only been doing it for 70 years. So, yeah, I would imagine that they would be willing to pay a handsome fee for somebody that they think can play. But here's the thing, well, Joshy Boy.
Yeah.
I think we are willing to break out the bag as well.
What do you think, Houston? If you're Tennessee, how would you counter off of that?
I mean, without knowing the financials, it's tough. I mean, the rumor is that it's an offer they can't refuse, and it's an offer that Tennessee can't get close to.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it won't work, but it feels like a very desperate move by Mark Pope and Kentucky because they've got to get one guy that they think can be a star. And did he remove that no tampering tag? Because I'm very confused as to how all this is going on in the first place.
Yeah, I'm confused too.
Like, does that mean no contact unless you like the offer? I don't know.
I mean, I would – maybe it's, hey, don't call me, we'll call you. But if you're Mark Pope and Kentucky's NIL cooperative, you can probably find out who Chaz Lanier's representation is pretty easily and call him and say, hey, you know, we'd love to sit down with your guy. We got $7 million burning a hole in our pocket. Just give us a call. And, you know, then the agent says, hey, you know, a guy from Kentucky called. And
I've heard it don't sound good.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Oh, I always get nervous when we start locking these guys in, and he's got like 3 months to finish his camps and his combine and all that.
That would be a swift kick to the groin.
Yeah, it would be. So, what? My question to you guys is: what would our backup plan be of getting a backup point guard then if Lanier commits Kentucky.
Who knows? They haven't recruited a soul outside. They haven't targeted anybody outside.
Well, they did that one guy, and then they canceled his visit.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were looking at him as a backup point guard.
The reason
we're not looking at Chaz as a backup point. We're looking at him as a starting wing.
Yeah.
We weren't looking at that other kid as he was getting looked at as a backup point guard. We haven't looked at anybody else at the two.
I've preached this for 2 years, guys. We need someone that can back up ZZ, and the issue has not been addressed yet.
Well, great point guards, right? Like great quarterbacks, they don't grow on trees, and depending on your situation, they can be hard to recruit and convince. So, I feel you, Joshy boy. It's tough out there, but look, man, we say they're not targeting any other guys. They're recruiting. They're looking at everybody that's out there and considering all available options. We just don't know about it. So. If they don't get Lanier, that'll stink, but they'll still have, according to some metrics, a top 10 talented roster and plenty of firepower to go in there and be competitive next season.
I did get pumped up on seeing the video of Igor's arrival. I'm with you there, Russ.
Are you a big Eazy-E guy, Joshy boy?
Yeah, I am.
What's your favorite track if you had to name just one?
Oh, there's so many good ones, Russ.
You celebrate his entire catalog.
Yeah, it's like you asking me who's my favorite child, you know.
Yes,
you can't name your favorite Eazy-E song. You sing along to it.
There's just so many, Bear.
Really?
Yeah, there's just so many good ones. But switching to baseball, really good interview with Ron Shumpert. We've been struggling with hitting the ball for the last few weeks. So what if we run into situation like 2022, like when Notre Dame came here and we struggled to hit the ball in game one and game three? What if we run into an opponent like that in the Super Regional this year?
Then we lose again. We go home. Yeah, we stay home.
That's how that goes.
It'll be the same deal. So, I mean,
are they just late on swinging balls, or what do you think the problem is for us?
I just think, it's like our Braves right now, Joshy boy. Ozuna's hitting, Albies is hitting, Olsen and Acuna aren't really hitting, and guys are up and down at different times, and you just got to converge and peak at the right time and hope you catch some lucky breaks. And that's what I'm hoping for is bats wake up tonight, we bomb an outmatched opponent, bats wake up this weekend at home, good weather, We hit bombs, and we get it rolling. Yep. And we take it down to Hoover, and we keep it rolling, and we peak at the right time.
So if we sweep South Carolina and Vandy, at least beat Kentucky one time, we win the East, right?
Yes.
If we sweep and Vandy loses a game.
Wins one game.
Or Vandy wins one game. Yeah, against Kentucky.
We win. Be a tiebreaker at that point.
Josh, your boy, got to run, man. Appreciate it. Stay with us. Hour number two, baseball lineup out for the Vols. Tucker Harlan will have that for you when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.